If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time, the rise and grind. It's a Wednesday morning on the early line, Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. And boy, do we have a show for you on a Wednesday. It's hump day. It's time to get prepared for Thursday night football. It's time to get prepared for the weekend. Also, to check in what's going on in Major League Baseball. And I'm Micah Padre today. It's Dubs Anderson. It's Donnie Wrightside. And over the next 3 hours, we got you covered on all of the hottest topics. Dubsy, it's a Wednesday. It's football season. No better place to be.
Donnie, we are going to be dealing a couple of big injuries. I'm sure we'll jump into from the NFL side of things. Pretenders looking more like contenders for the college football slate coming up on Saturday. And you highlight a bit of baseball talk. Altuve taking off his shoes and socks last night out there on the diamond. What is going on, Donnie?
I'm telling you, we'll get to those stories later. Like, it takes us off the shoes and the socks, shows the umpire. What's the umpire do? Yeah, it's nice to see you're out of here. So, yes, playoffs down the stretch they come. A lot more topics in baseball to get started. But let's start with the 7-7 and maybe the hottest topic out there that's still a week old at this point. Last Thursday night, Dubsy, we were watching in primetime action the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa getting that concussion. A week later, he's been placed on IR, which means he can come back this season. But the Dolphins basically taking it out of Tua's hands. Let's just say, Dubsy, he was cleared medically by next, to say Thursday, 2 weeks, we'll give a time frame. They're not going to allow him to come back, and rightfully so. Let's get everything straight. But also, hearing in the background for those Miami Dolphins, he's having a good time in the locker room. He seems clear at this point. He's in good spirits. So good to see. But the Dolphins to IR goes Tua. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's not great for the season outlook there for Miami. It's obviously a very sensitive subject, and health and wellness will be the priority there for the Miami Dolphins. So we cannot expect to see Tua back in a hurry. Skylar Thompson's going to be the starting quarterback as they get set to take on the Seattle Seahawks. It looks like Tyler Huntley coming across there in the mix to give him a bit of depth. But look, multiple key positions will be affected by this moving forward. The wide receivers are only as good as the guy throwing them the rock, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle. So I think there's going to be a bit of a drop off for Miami, but thumbs up. Hopefully everything's going all right there for Tua in the recovery.
Yeah, we'll get to this topic a little bit more later also, but when you're looking at Tua Tagovailoa and what this means moving forward, that's devastating to that Dolphins offense. Now, Skylar Thompson does have some playoff, you know, starts under his belt, which is crazy. He only has a couple in his NFL career. Looked really bad in coming in for reserve against the Buffalo Bills, but now he's a starter, taking all those reps in practice. We'll see what happens for the Miami Dolphins. Let's keep it in the NFL. How about the Kansas City Chiefs welcoming back Kareem Hunt? Why? Isaiah Pacheco, broken leg, out at least 6 to 8 weeks. They're going to need some help in that backfield. We don't know how long it's going to take Kareem Hunt basically to get into shape, but he was signed to the practice squad. Big news for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to need all the help they can get moving forward in that background there, Dubsy.
Yeah, I feel like we're going back to 2018. And for Kareem Hunt, what's he going to bring? Is he going to bring what we saw as a rookie in 2017? No, he's not going to put up the same kind of numbers. But the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't need that from Kareem Hunt. They need that veteran experience in the locker room. They need him to fill a gap in the short term here until Isaiah Pacheco gets back up to speed there. So a nice addition for Kareem Hunt. Interested to see what he's going to look like and how long it will turn for him to get things going in the right direction.
two close victories here for the Chiefs, week one and week number two. Sunday night football against the Atlanta Falcons on the road. They are favored by 3.5 points, but Pacheco, as we said, probably down at least 2 months. Devastating news for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's roll it over to some Major League Baseball action. As we said, down the stretch they come. Only 2 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. The National League still up for grabs in that wild card positioning. You look at the Padres, a 2.5-game lead over the Mets and the Diamondbacks. So if the season ended today, it's the Padres, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks headed to the playoffs with the Braves 2 games back here. I love to see this. The extra wild card here adds a lot more intrigue, and looks like the New York Mets surging up the charts here. Could they actually get the top wild card spot? But if we, as we said, Padres, Mets, Diamondbacks currently in the playoffs today, Dubsy.
Easy there, Donnie. But the Mets put up a nice win, 10-1 last night. Pete Alonso was the star with Young Acuna in the mix there as well. Tyler McGill backed up that strong performance. They're going to have to play some really good baseball. October 1st is fast approaching, but that was a massive win on Tuesday night for the Mets. They absolutely needed it.
I'll tell you, another big win yesterday was the Detroit Tigers, 3-1 over the Kansas City Royals in extras as the Detroit Tigers look to make that surge with a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. How do you do that, Dubsy? Beat the teams that are in front of you, which include the Kansas City Royals, a monster win by the Tigers, who have Tarik Skubal on the mound today as well. Could it be a chance for the Tigers to make the playoffs? They got big help last night by picking up that victory.
Detroit are absolutely dealing. This one, I've got egg all over the face, Donnie. I was all about the Kansas City Royals at home in this spot, but it wasn't meant to be there. We saw a bit of spark from Bobby Witt early, but no two ways about it. Detroit Tigers, they are playing some really good baseball, and they've got the hot hand at the table. Look for that momentum. It looks like they've got a nice matchup again here for Wednesday afternoon.
Keeping that momentum looking forward. That's the New York Yankees trying to take down the AL pennant, or at least get that number one overall seed in the AL. Goes a long way when you beat teams also trying to make the playoffs like the Seattle Mariners. An 11-2 victory yesterday, which surprising to me, Dubs, not that the Yankees won the game, but 13 total runs scored. And also, Wu has been a very good pitcher coming into that game, 8-2 for the Seattle Mariners. He leaves 4 2/3 innings pitched, 9 hits and 7 earned runs, which includes Juan Soto going deep, bringing his average up to a 287. Aaron Judge, a 4 RBI night, which included 2 for 4 at the plate. The superstar shined for the Yankees, and Luis Gil was dominant on the mound.
All rise for those Yankee superstars. This was a big spot and plenty of runs, as you highlighted there, Donnie. Traditionally one of the toughest ballparks to score and see plenty of offense, and that total projected that when you've got the likes of Aaron Judge, Juan Soto getting his 40th home run of the season, it's no surprise that the Yankees absolutely went off in this one. And I believe they became the third set of Yankees teammates to each hit 40 home runs in a season. So truly special stuff from what we are seeing for the two superstars in Aaron Judge and Juan Soto for the Pinstripes.
The dynamic duo in Pinstripes there. The only question is going to be is, you know, will they win a World Series? And will Juan Soto still be in Pinstripes next season as he's set to make, I don't know, $500 million on the open market? Let's flip it over to the WNBA. And down the stretch, they come as well. You take a look last night, 5 games in play. Maybe the best game of the night was the Lynx and the Sun, two of the top teams in the WNBA. A 2-point game saw the Lynx on the road get the victory over the Sun. The Liberty beat the Mystics. The Dream over the Sky. The Aces over the Storm, and the Mercury over the Sparks.
Yeah, biggest takeaway for me there from the Tuesday slate, Asia Wilson, again, very impressive. Now surpasses Angel Reese's single-season rebounding record. It was only over the weekend there on Sunday, becoming the first player in league history to reach 1,000 points in a single season. So a lot of takeaways there from the W last night, but that was the biggest one for me. Asia Wilson continues to set the bar. That was a big win over the Seattle Storm, and their playoffs fast approaching, getting underway the 22nd of this month. So a lot of teams trying to find that hot hand, being less than a week out.
Couple days away from seeing who's going to be able to lift that trophy up. And by the way, the Liberty, 87-71, that victory over the Mystics, now the number one overall seed in the WNBA. Could we have a rematch? Liberty versus Aces. We'll find out short enough, but a great season overall in the WNBA. And the final news story that we're going to talk about here, how about Boban Marjanovic headed over to the EuroLeague? One of the more famous players that doesn't really do much famous things on the court other than being tall, but certainly one of those personalities. You see him on those Goldfish commercials. He's been around. Bobby and Toby with Tobias Harris. He moves to the EuroLeague, but there's a caveat. If an NBA team wants him back, he does have an out clause that he can come back here, Dubsy.
Yeah, he'll come back. And this is a locker room guy, Big Boban. And we need more characters in the association like this, Tony. At 36 years of age, he's now played 9 seasons in the association the last couple of years, being over there with the Rockets. This is someone I'd want to play alongside with. It's someone I'd want to, you know, travel on that team bus with. So Boban, gone for now, but I don't think we've seen the last of him in the NBA. We know what he brings, and it's absolutely vibes, and sometimes he can also be that plug out there on the floor as well.
Dubs, what would you do if you were 7'4"? I mean, how would you golf? How would you get around? You know, how would
the
studio
look?
Tony, how big would your chair be?
I'd be in the NBA, and I'm playing like Vince Carter until I'm 45 years of age. I'm making every single penny. The golf game, it wouldn't be great, Donnie. I think the short game would really struggle. Just couldn't get low for them flop shots.
Like, it would be great to be 7'4", because, yes, you could sort of print money by just being an NBA guy for at least a decade. But, my goodness, just like finding a bed or a car that would fit, or just trying to walk into somebody's house would be wild. That's how we started on the Early Line, the 7-7, the hottest topics in sports. Now, let's talk more NFL action coming up next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one right here on the Early Line in full effect. It's Dub Anderson and Donnie Wrightside here, SiriusXM Channel 159. The hot topics we always love to get through and bring them to you. Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa was injured last week with the concussion. A week later, he has been placed on IR by the Miami Dolphins. You saw a tweet yesterday with the breaking news from Mike Garofolo, and he basically saying Tua Tagovailoa on the injured reserve in order to give him ample time to progress through the stages of concussion protocol and meet with outside neurologists. This is a big deal. Now, granted, it happened early in the season. Nobody ever wants to see that happen to any player, particularly Tua, which a lot of people were rooting for. Got his big contract in the offseason, and it looks like, hey, he made it an entire year without getting a concussion, only to find out by week number 2, he's down on IR for 8 weeks. So we'll go over the ramifications. But before we do that, Dubsy, how do we feel about the Miami Dolphins placing him on IR? Smart move to take the, you know, let's just say, decision out of his hands and give him ample time to recover? Or would you have liked to say, let me just hear what the doctors have to say, and if he's cleared within 2 weeks, he should be out there? What are the thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it sounded like maybe the hand was forced there, Donnie, because we heard earlier this week head coach Mike McDaniel coming up saying, look, we're not going to make a decision on this until we get further information. Obviously, further information has come across there. And for Tua, obviously, there's a lot to weigh in at this point of his career. He's still so young. But concussion and taking those head knocks, something that you certainly don't want to be dealing with in the NFL. So not great for Dolphins fans. You know, Tua's certainly one of the focal points of the offense there, being your starting quarterback. But in terms of the health and fitness, we can only cross our fingers and hopefully they can come up with something moving forward. For a young quarterback playing in this league, Donnie, that is not something that you want to be trying to toy with week in, week out. I mean, these are some massive humans running at you and trying to put your body through the absolute ringer. So for Tua, he's going to have to make a couple of very tough decisions that could ultimately impact the way he lives the rest of his life going through the next 10, 20 years. So it's a tough one.
Yeah, he was actually practicing martial arts so he could actually fall correctly, which meant I don't slam the back of my head on the turf. And it looked like it worked great last year because he didn't suffer any concussions, which was great, which did allow him to get that long-term contract. But if we look at the Miami Dolphins, before we go to like the backup scenarios, 1-1 on the season, pulled out a victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars week number 1, 2-3 for 338 yards. But week number 2, even though he did get injured, and it was at a time in the game where the Dolphins still were getting blown out through 3 interceptions in that game and suffered the concussion, they looked terrible on that game, losing to the Bills 31-10. Now he's down, Dubsy, to at least week 8, which means Seattle, Tennessee, New England, a bye week, and Indy here. If you expect Tua Tagovailoa, let's just say he does come back in that 8th week against the Cardinals, you probably would want to be around at least 500 to give your team a legitimate chance maybe to win the division still, and also, most importantly, to make the playoffs. But if we're looking at that time frame, and if it is Skylar Thompson, is there any chance, Dubs, in your mind that they can be 500 by the time they get to play the Arizona Cardinals if Tua does come back?
Yeah, I think they can, Donnie. I think they can win at least 2 of the next 4, but they're going to have to figure out a better solution than Skylar Thompson at quarterback. I mean, he looked terrible coming in for that game. We've got news coming across. Tyler Huntley will also come in there to add a bit of depth at quarterback. I'd probably lean more towards Huntley, just knowing that we've got a bit of upside there. But looking at the schedule, you know, Seattle's going to be a tough out this week up there in Seattle. The Titans at home, Will Levis, that offense, they've looked shocking. The Patriots, I'm still waiting for them to come crashing back down to earth. The Colts in their building, that could be a tough one. But for Anthony Richardson and their offense, they can go a little stale as well. And then it's the Cardinals in week 8. So I do think they could pick up a win, maybe two. And it certainly looks like it could be the Titans. Not this week, coming up that week following. One of the best minds in the game, Mike McDaniel, he's going to have to scheme up something pretty special. Maybe lean on that run game. You know, Devon Achane, he was one of the shining lights last Thursday.
You take a look at the Miami Dolphins' seasonal odds now with Tua Tagovailoa basically hanging in the balance if he does come back or not. You take a look at the make the playoffs now, a plus 172 price. To win the AFC East, that's now a 5-1 price. The AFC title, 20-1, and to win the Super Bowl at 40-1. Here's going to be the interesting thing, Dubs, as we look moving forward. Let's just say short term, right? They make a move for a backup quarterback just to get somebody in the building, because when you lose a quarterback, you got to add a quarterback. Now, Huntley, I don't think is going to be projected to be a starter, whether or not Skylar Thompson plays well or not. But here's the interesting part, too. A week has gone by. They put him on IR. They must be getting positive vibes back from Tua's camp and also the neurologist that he's probably been checking in with that say, you know what? Concussions are devastating. I don't want to preface this by saying maybe it wasn't a bad concussion. All concussions, as Dr. Chow came on, very serious situations overall. But if they're getting more positive news back, you might have already seen if it was negative, Dubsy, that they made a move for a long-term quarterback solution for at least this year that they feel they would be able to buoy the season and maybe still make it to the playoffs. But the reason why you add Huntley here and Thompson, and also this could change. Next week when they go up to Seattle and Thompson plays terribly, they might be on the warpath here to try to bring in via waiver wire, free agent, agency or trade another quarterback. But I think the vibes are positive that Tua can return this season. That's why I don't think they've made a move at quarterback so far yet, Dubsy.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Donny. I guess there's optimism in hopefully being this a short window for that return there. Maybe it's week 9 going back against the Buffalo Bills. But for the Miami Dolphins, they need to. If they're going to have a viable season and try and be one of the contenders, which we thought they were coming in for a new year, because you look at the opposing defenses, it's so much easier to scheme up knowing that Tua is not going to be there at quarterback. If you're trying to put pressure on Skylar, you can expect a bit of regression from the Cheetah, from Waddle, Achane. They know that's going to probably be now the primary threat trying to get that run game going in the right direction. But I think you've highlighted a very good point there, Donnie. It sounds like there is a bit of optimism coming out of South Beach with Tua going on the IR. Week 8 potentially back in the mix. All reports sounds like he's in good health, good standing. He's there at the facility on the daily having a good time. So that's what you want to see.
Yeah, if we're looking overall at the prognosis for the season now, right, as you see the graphics up there, have to make the playoffs, win the AFC, that sounds far-fetched right now because let's just say Tua doesn't come back. None of those numbers are going to come in here if they stick with Skylar Thompson. But let's just say they can buoy themselves. I mean, maybe just one win while Tua's out. And you say, okay, Tua does come back week 8 and is healthy against Arizona. I would not be playing those numbers today on that graphic to win the division, to make the playoffs. I would wait it out because if Tua does come back week 8, you have the extra wild card spot that they added a few years ago, so 7 teams make the playoffs. You might get crazy statistical numbers here heading towards the playoffs if Tua can come back, play well, and be healthy. So it's something interesting to look at. So I ask you this quickly, Dubs. Is this a team that you might be looking at value-wise late in the season if Tua does come back?
Absolutely, Donnie. Now, certainly not the buy low spot. I'd wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe before Tua makes that big return. That could be the pounce opportunity.
Absolutely. Playing the numbers here. Get the best prices. That's what we always preach here. More NFL talk coming up next. It's a Wednesday morning. It's Dubsy and Donnie, and we'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right back out of here on the early line. The NFL hot topics always continue, and certainly early in the season, changes are going to be made. Why? Because injuries happen. That's a thing in the NFL. If we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs here, Dubs, devastating news on Isaiah Pacheco, who looked like he was the lead dog, not only in the backfield, but the catalyst for that offense. Yeah, we love Rashee Rice at wide receiver, and Kelsey's off to a slow start, and you still have Patrick Mahomes. But it seemed like the engine that was making that team go was Isaiah Pacheco, one of the most furious running backs in the NFL. but he breaks his leg, he's out probably at least 2 months, and the Chiefs are going to look for more help in the backfield outside of Carson Steele. So Kareem Hunt comes back to town for the Kansas City Chiefs, and yes, if he can go back to his rookie year, second year, he was absolutely phenomenal. I'm hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, but I think just getting some familiarity in the backfield back where he knows that offense, it can help this team. Signed to the practice squad, so won't be immediate starter, but the Chiefs needed help, Dubsy, and they went out and got it.
Yeah, and brings in quite the veteran experience there, Kareem Hunt. We saw the numbers back in 2017, 2018. We know the upside is absolutely there. He's probably missing, a step of speed, a step of pace, if you will. But this is a position that the Kansas City Chiefs are absolutely going to need depth with moving through the next month. And I feel like for Kansas City, Donny, they've had such a strong start to the season. Arguably the best, complement of wide receivers that Patty Mahomes has had to work with the last 2 or 3 years. So they don't need the run game to be fantastic, but they certainly need it to be the foundation. So they're going to lose a bit of steam with Isaiah Pacheco, but hopefully it just buys them a bit of time at the table to get some other things going in the right direction. You highlighted Travis Kelce. He's been a little slow for his starting season, to get things going this year. So I like this move. I'd love to see Isaiah Pacheco back in the mix. They're absolutely going to need him at the business end of the season, but it's a long year. It's a long campaign. They've shown a bit of class early in this one because it does not get any easier for the Kansas City Chiefs in search of a third consecutive Lombardi.
As we've been saying here on the early line, Dubsy, 2-0 by a toe, those Kansas City Chiefs, week number one. Isaiah Likely still was on the line, week number two. You had Harrison Butker with a bomb field goal at the gun to win that game over the Cincinnati Bengals in a comeback victory here. And now they have Sunday Night Football as they head to Atlanta, but backfield help is on the way. Let's take a look at those Pittsburgh Steelers now, because we were led to believe in the offseason it was going to be Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it didn't even care if he was injured or not. He would be out there. Well, apparently, Justin Fields has held down that fourth. The Steelers are 2-0. They're going to have a home game this weekend against the Chargers. And look at this. Ian Rappaport tweets out yesterday, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin announced that the plan is for Justin Fields again to be the starting quarterback. The team is readying itself for Fields while Russell Wilson won't be a full participant just yet. So they're taking extra long now, which is the right thing to do with an injury for Russell Wilson. But it's easier to do that, Dubsy, when you're 2-0 and not 0-2. What do you think about the Steelers sticking with Justin Fields now?
You keep winning. How can you really go against it? Sure. I mean, the upside's there. He's a decade younger than Russell Wilson and arguably bringing more to the table. So for Danger Russ, great to see him getting out there and healthy. And I guess, for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, the way they play, it's hard-nosed football. It's going to be an arm wrestle. It's going to be a dogfight every week. And Justin Fields, I mean, he is a tremendous athlete. He looks like he could be, wide receiver, tight end. He is that big, but the way he plays it, he also welcomes in that chance for maybe injury, as we get through the later stages of the season. So a healthy veteran, Russell Wilson on the sideline, that's not going to be a bad thing overlooking Justin Fields. But right now, if you're winning, you're winning. You've got to stick with it. And for a young guy like Justin Fields, who's never really had the right surroundings to flourish in the National Football League, maybe this is the confidence, he needs in his game to take that forward step. So a win's a win. They keep on going. This will be a tough one coming up this week, but Justin Fields, he's the fix right now for the Steelers.
It's a new NFL, so particularly you really win by offense in this day and age. If you go back, 25 years ago to the year 2000, the Baltimore Ravens winning the Super Bowl over the New York Giants, they had an unbelievable bone-crushing defense where they would say, okay, Trent Dilfer, score us 10 points in a game and we'll end up winning because of how good our defense is. The Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to recreate that, which I don't think is going to work in their favor, but the one thing you can't tell a football coach, Dubsy, is, hey, you know what? We're 2-0, but I just don't like the way you're 2-0. I wish you would change things up at this point. They're going to ride the hot hand, which is Fields, which means throwing for like $150 a game. But if the end of the game with all zeros on the scoreboard show the Pittsburgh Steelers are winning, how can you mess with that formula? And this weekend's action, the Chargers versus the Steelers, 1:00. FanDuel Sportsbook has them listed as a 1.5-point favorite. But Dubsy, how about this? A 35.5 total. How about that one?
It feels like it's going to smash towards the overs. And look, I'll give the flowers where they're due. I'm probably not going to touch that total. Falcons, Broncos, two very impressive defenses, and Fields has failed to turn the ball over. That's a massive improvement already. So there'll be a shot in this one. Not a lot of points, though.
What's the best way for job security? Keep winning football games. Major League Baseball, wild card races. Let's get after it next, right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Rideside. Time to talk a little baseball. 2 weeks out from playoff baseball. Otani now sitting at 48-48. And let's stick with the National League. It was a showdown last night. The Phillies flying high against the Brewers, Donnie. They get the win here 5-1. It was Harper, it was Wheeler, and another monster performance from Philadelphia.
It was a big win for the Phillies because we both know the Phillies and the Milwaukee Brewers are going to make the playoffs, understandably. The Phillies are going to win their division. Milwaukee's going to win their division. But now you're jockeying for playoff seeding. So these head-to-head games do mean a lot because if the Milwaukee Brewers, let's just say, could have swept the Philadelphia Phillies, they could honestly be eyeing up the number one overall seed in the National League, maybe the best record overall in baseball, which would be crazy to think about midway through the season. But the Phillies with that 5-1 victory sort of holding on. We'll get to the Dodgers in just a bit, but let's focus on the Philadelphia Phillies. Two things you can set your clock to there, right? The sun coming up in the morning and Zach Wheeler being absolutely dominant on the mound as he picked up his 16th win, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, only 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, and no walks. He was absolutely phenomenal. But maybe even a bigger indicator of things starting to go well again for the Philadelphia Phillies is Bryce Harper finding that power stroke now and hitting home runs again. And also Nick Castellanos in the cleanup spot yesterday, only batting .244, but hitting another big home run yesterday. If you can get Alec Bohm back healthy, which I know he returned over the weekend to the Phillies lineup, this lineup is starting to groove, it's starting to hit again, and it's starting to pitch. Now today, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, you're going to have Aaron Nola coming back to the mound here after getting wiped out in his last performance. This would be a huge win for the Phillies if they can pick that up today, but last night's effort, 5-1, game stays under the total. Wheeler was fantastic. He looks like Dubsy. He's already in playoff mode.
And that's what you want to see, Donnie. I feel like, you know, this point in September, it's always the Phillies trying to find a bit of momentum. But what about the Houston Astros? They just do not go away. And they were taking on a pretty hot baseball team right now. That was the Padres last night. This one down there at Petco in San Diego, we needed extra innings to sort it out. Houston come up victorious 4-3. It was actually Michael King who had the edge out there on the bump, the starting pitcher for the Padres. He fans 7. But it was the Astros getting that win in the 10th. And we highlighted Altuve had to remove the wheels to get it done, Donnie.
Yeah, by the way, you take a look at the two pitchers yesterday. Fantastic. Brown, 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. King, 7 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. And so there were some interesting things that happened last night. First, before we get to the Altuve one, was Manny Machado tied the game up with a 2-0 game to 2-2 with a 2-run shot. The funny part about that was, one of those Dubsy, the 3-0 count, where the ball 4, which for some reason in Major League Baseball, the pitcher gets way more leniency on a 3-0 count to get a strike than he would at any other time in that at bat. So Machado throws the bat, tries to go to the first base. They bring him back in. So it's a 3-1 count now, right? Same thing happens. The ball's outside. They call it a strike. He already threw the bat, was on his way to first base. So now he's agitated. So what does he do to Dubsy? Bam! Plants the ball into the left field seats to tie it up at 2-2. And also you're talking about Jose Altuve, who grounded out, but the ball hit his toe, which they didn't call, and he took his shoes off and his socks off to show. I've seen that in golf before, Dubs, right? You go into the hazard. You say, you know what? Let me roll my pants up, take my socks off so I don't get a penalty here. But you don't get thrown out of the golf tournament if you do show up official saying, I'm going to hit this ball anyway. It was interesting to see that outright, but also big win by the Astros in extra innings, 4-3. They deserve that victory here, and they now pick up their 82nd win of the season, hoping to finally put the clamps on that AL West.
Yeah, that was a massive win there on Tuesday evening. Another close one between the Braves and the Reds. It was the Cincinnati Reds getting the score at home here, 6-5. But I guess the big takeaway from this one, it was the Braves blowing a lead here, Donnie. They're leading, 4-1 going into the fourth, and then they end up losing this game. So not good enough for the Braves, a team trying to find a bit of that spark.
No, it's not. And also, at the worst time of the season, right? You lose this game in April, May, June. All right, let's get them that. But now you're watching the scoreboard every single night. The Mets are absolutely red hot for the majority of the summer, Dubsy. The Atlanta Braves were in playoff competition in that final couple spots here to be the top wild card. And now they find themselves on the outside looking in. And that is a devastating loss overall. Today, Spencer Schwellenbach, a young pitcher who's pitched well this season, is going to take the mound. But that's a game where the Reds aren't going to make the playoffs. They had the heart late in that game to come back. The Atlanta Braves blew that game, and let's see how they rebound today. Can't afford those type of losses here late September.
Less than a couple of weeks out from playoff baseball, a team with everything to play for, the Mets, absolutely looked to be riding on that motivation last night, 10-1. It was a thumping over the Nationals here for Ray. Our guy Parker, not good enough there. But for the Mets, he's here, Donnie. They needed this one. They're starting to build a bit of momentum towards October, and they do it in dominating fashion.
They absolutely did. 10-1 last night. Now, granted, you thought they would win because the Nationals are dead in the water. But take a look at Tyler McGill. 4-5 on the season, an ERA lowered to 4.08. But he was great last night. When you just need to stack up wins against inferior opponents, you still have to pitch well. Because as we say, the other team is getting a paycheck on the other side. He went 6 innings, 1 earned run, only 2 hits, 2 bases on balls, 4 strikeouts yesterday. Actually, excuse me, didn't give up an earned run yesterday, which is awesome in that spot. But you take a look at the offense, right? 14 hits overall. This is the thing with the New York Mets. I don't think they can pitch their way into the playoffs, which they currently have one of the final seeds in the wild card race. But I do think they can hit their way into the playoffs, which is what they did last night. Once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. But the more interesting thing with the New York Mets, which typically the Phillies are doing these type of things late in the season, playing your best baseball, fighting your way into a wild card spot, and still having that edge of being in playoff mode for an entire month by the time you enter into the playoffs. So things are on the rise for the Mets, 83-68. This is one of those seasons that we thought, you know what? The Mets taking a step back, sold their expensive players, got some prospects back, didn't spend a lot of money in the free agent market. Let's just evaluate and see what we have this year before we hit free agency the next season. Do we want to bring the polar bear back, Pete Alonso? Do we want to let him go? Do we want to put our assets elsewhere? And now you find yourself with the Mets. They're going to make the playoffs here. They got some really good chemistry in that locker room, Dubs. No doubt about it.
Tony, if the offense can carry the Mets into the playoffs and it looks like they're trending in the right direction, can the arms do enough to make them genuine contenders? You know, Severino, Manaea, we've got David Peterson. Is that enough in the rotation to maybe scare a couple of the big threats?
You can never say never, because we've seen in the past with the way the Major League Baseball schedule sets up now with the extra wild card spot, they're upsetting a lot of teams. Talk about the wild cards, those top seeds, because just like in baseball, Dubs, it's an everyday sport, which means you're usually grinding on a day-to-day basis. The teams that get those top seeds sometimes, and taking off is not the right word. Like, let's just say you have 5 games left in your season, Dubs. You clinch the number one, the number two overall seed, which means you're going to get that bye heading into the playoffs. You're starting to set your rotation up. You're not as focused on those 5 days. Then those next couple days while the wild cards are going around, what are you doing? You're not seeing live pitching. You're just doing workouts on your field. And then you're going to play a team that entered into the playoffs probably hot and continued to stay hot with a wild card round win and then facing those upper level teams. So I wouldn't say never, but if we are looking, let's just say Philadelphia Phillies versus the New York Mets, the Phillies have a better starting rotation, bullpen, and 1-9. They're not supposed to win that game, right? Because the Phillies are the one seed. But a team like the Dodgers, who I know is immensely talented, that you're still questioning that starting lineup here on the pitching mound, those are the teams that might be a little bit more vulnerable when we're hitting the playoffs. And I'm not saying the Dodgers can't win at all. I'm just trying to lay out how a team like the New York Mets can stay hot getting into the playoffs and knock off a team that maybe doesn't have a Wheeler and a Nola at the top of the lineup here, Dubsy.
And Donnie, for the bettors taking a look down, you know, further on the board, right now holding the wild card positions in the National League, it's the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets. We've got the Braves 2 games back and the Cubbies 6 games back. Is that too much ground to make up for a team like Chicago?
It's Chicago, yes, it's 6 games. They're basically dead and buried because not only do you have to jump over the Braves, you still have to jump over the Diamondbacks. Anytime you're looking at saying, okay, we're only 6 back, you're not fighting one team necessarily to get back in there. It's 2 teams that are trying to win here. And also, food for thought heading down the stretch. We always know, like, the tax is real in the month of September, Dubsy, which means the teams that have to win ball games, let's just say they were minus 140 in April, they'll be a minus 180 or higher now, because if they're playing a team that's out of the playoffs, that team is probably just looking to get some younger looks here for the offseason and to see if guys can make the roster for next year in spring training. So keep an eye out for that. But I'm enjoying this. The expanded wild card spots, Dubsy, have been so sensational at adding this extra level of talent, because why? We wouldn't be rooting on so many teams down the stretch having a chance to make the playoffs, and teams like the Mets certainly are benefiting from that.
The Mets continue to make that charge towards the first of October. Coming up after the break, we're talking Tigers, Royals, what went wrong, Kansas City. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Dubs Anderson. That is Donnie Rideside, and we're talking all things Major League Baseball. It was the Detroit Tigers last night, Donnie, absolutely dealing, going against the Royals at the K. It was a spicy one. It took 10 innings to find out a winner here, but the Tigers ultimately finish up on top. It was a low scorer projected there by the odds makers at 7.5, just with a total of 4 runs. And it was Meadows, the miracle man, on Tuesday night.
How about this, though? 3-1 victory yesterday, which doesn't really tell the whole tale of the story, because when you're looking at the Detroit Tigers, you never really think of their bullpen as being all that dominant. Mize goes 4 1/3 innings pitch, gives up 1 earned run. But how about the bullpen? Miller, Brieski, Holton, and Foley shutting it down all the way through into extras to limit the Kansas City Royals to 1 total run. But also from a Detroit Tigers perspective, they struggled in this game going up against Cole Reagans. He went 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts in that game through 105 pitches. Kansas City, he's got some pretty good young talented pitchers, but these are the games you have to win. If you want to get back into the wild card race, Dubsy, you got to beat the teams that are in front of you in the standings. Now, the Royals do have a game and a half lead in the wild card race over the third place team, but the Detroit Tigers only a game and a half climbing into third place here in that final wild card spot, playing their best baseball. And as I tipped off before the, or when we were talking a little bit earlier in hour number one, they got Tarek Skubal on the mound today. Another victory against the Royals really could have the Royals panicking in this spot. The Royals are one of those teams, Dubsy, I absolutely love to root for, and I can't wait. I hope they make the playoffs here because they deserve it by having a great season. But boy, oh boy, these games in these high-leverage pressure situations, every game matters. A massive win for the Tigers, a tough win for the Royals, which could get worse today with Skubal on the mound.
Yeah, he's going to be a very, very tough out there. Keeping it with the American League Central, it was a showdown between the Twins and the Guardians. Another low-scoring affair, but it was Minnesota, the Twins, getting it done 4-1 here. It was Willie Castro hitting a 2-run homer, who was, I guess, the hero and savior for Minnesota here for Tuesday. 4-1, low score, but the Twins needed this one to hold on to that wild card spot.
And trying to fend off again, the Twins, if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs as that third wild card team. But as we just talked about, the Detroit Tigers, fast moving, trying to chase them down. And also, if Minnesota can move up in the standings and chase down the Kansas City Royals, should they lose a game today, which was a massive game last night, 4-1. You take a look at Zebby Matthews on the mound, the young pitcher here for the Minnesota Twins, 4 2/3 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 run, and that run was earned. But look at this ERA, 6.30. So if you're going to get a guy with an ERA probably coming into that game well north of 7 to pick up a victory against another playoff team in your division, that is absolutely sensational baseball being played there. Good win for the Minnesota Twins. They are right in the mix of it. And this is what we talked about too with the New York Mets. These three teams challenging for that final wild card spot here, they are sharpening their swords heading towards the playoffs. Why? Because Dubsy, they're already in playoff mode. Much needed win for the Twins yesterday.
It was a big afternoon for the Yankees up in Seattle, 11-2. Now, Donnie, you wouldn't be shocked if I said, you know, Juan Soto lights it up with his 40th homer for the season. Aaron Judge, he was special. But going against Seattle in Seattle against Wu, we never really see a lot of offense. But the Yankees, they showed us again why they're one of the heavyweights going in towards October.
Damaging right off the bat. How do you want to leave your like mark on the baseball game? Don't allow this to straggle out to the 5th, 6th, 7th inning where the team that's the slight underdog with the Mariners, a chance to hang around thinking they can make the playoffs. Put them to sleep early, and that's what you got. 2 runs in the first inning, 2 runs in the second inning, 2 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth, and 3 in the sixth. Lights out. And I said this handicapping this Major League Baseball game yesterday. You're talking about maybe the ultimate pitcher's ballpark here. 2 solid pitchers on the mound. I didn't think we got to 8 or 9 runs in this game, but the Yankees did it all by themselves. 11 runs in there, which also Luis Gil, rookie of the year favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 91 total pitches, lowering his ERA to 3.14. And Luis Gil now in the season, 14-6. Certainly a great catalyst for the reason why the New York Yankees should be able to take down the pennant in the American League. The Seattle Mariners, time keeps on slipping for them as they're trying to make the playoffs. Not a great effort as the Yankees pulverized them last night, 11-2.
Could Luis Gil be the key to contending, Donnie? You know, we talk about the lineup, the offense. It's fantastic. They can do things like we saw there on Tuesday night. But could Luis Gil be the kind of piece that the Yankees have been banking on?
Need it, because if you're going to have a power pitcher like him, and certainly still a young guy, trying to win rookie of the year, make his way around, you also have the struggles for Hill, right? He was fantastic to start the season, Dubsy. That midway through started leaking a little bit oil, but now snapping back. If you can have, it's all about the 1-2 rotation once you get to the playoffs. If Gerrit Cole is healthy and dominant, that's a sensational number one. If Luis Hill can have more pitching performances like we saw last night in a playoff-type atmosphere, that's exactly what can buoy you and bolster you in the playoffs here. If he can be this type of pitcher when he steps up in the playoffs, yes, the Yankees, as we know, already true contenders, but now the seriousness just ramps up, because if they can match anybody else's 1-2 punch, we know that lineup can deliver damage, Doves.
Let's keep it with the theme here, pitching, standout performers on Tuesday night there. It was the Giants 10-0, blanking the Orioles in Baltimore. It was Blake Snell with an absolute masterclass. He fans 12 Ks. And for the Orioles, they'll never play and catch up in this one, Donnie.
Blake Snell has been such an interesting look during the season. High-priced talent, was out so long in the free agent market, had to settle for a shorter-term deal, opens the season with the Giants, didn't look that good, goes on the IL, and over the past 60 to 70 days, has been probably the best pitcher overall in Major League Baseball, and that continued last night. 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 0 runs, 12 strikeouts, and 2 walks against a quality lineup for the Baltimore Orioles. And it wasn't even at home, Dubsy. This was on the road at one of the more hitter-friendly ballparks down there in Baltimore. An unbelievable effort, but for naught. But also, do we remember, Dubsy, at the trade deadline, Blake Snell was up for grabs, could have him, nobody traded for him. This guy is filthy down the stretch, and he's not even going to make it to the postseason here. Let's see if he opts out of that contract in the offseason and heads to free agency once again. He'll command top dollar for sure.
And I'll tell you what, Donnie, for the Baltimore Orioles holding that top spot in the wild card standings for the American League, they've now only won 3 of their last 10. They've dropped the last couple, so a little concerning there for the Orioles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes you want to, as I say, Dubsy, repeatedly, be playing your best baseball when you're coming down the stretch here. It looked like for a while that the Orioles might be the best team in the AL East. The Yankees have surpassed them now. Let's just hope the Orioles can get that rotation set, get healthy, and start hitting again before playoff baseball.
Plenty of action coming up on the other side. You're watching The Early Line. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Regular season baseball coming down the stretch here. Early October, we get the playoff baseball, and now just a formality. It used to be the Kings of October would win the World Series. Now the World Series, Dubsy, goes into the month of November. It seems like a never-ending Major League Baseball season, but we love it here. But also, when we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the odds to win the World Series, they're fresh, they're minted, and yes, it's still the Los Angeles Dodgers at a plus 360 price. The New York Yankees now at a plus 440 price, climbing over the Philadelphia Phillies, who are sitting at a plus 490 number, followed by the Astros, Orioles, Padres, Guardians, Brewers, Twins, and those Metropolitans at 27-1. So let's just start here first. The Philadelphia Phillies now 2 games clear in the National League and also in Major League Baseball, having the number one overall seed. The one thing we also know, Dubsy, is that when you get to the playoffs, the Phillies have a tremendous home field advantage at Citizens Bank Park here. Let's start with the Dodgers, plus 360. Agree, Dubsy, that they should be the favorite right now by just about a dollar price over the Yankees?
I mean, they've been favorites all season long, Donnie, and no, I think they're a little vulnerable in this spot. You know, they're 5-5 from their last 10. That's not really good enough. A couple of the big aces in, you know, Clayton Kershaw, we'll start with him. Who knows what we're going to get there from that return. I think Yamamoto was certainly a great addition getting back in the mix there last week. He looked fantastic, and that could be the guy you lean towards going into game one. But I think for the Dodgers at that kind of price, I think the Phillies should be the ones to beat at this point of the season. They've certainly got a complete roster, and the offense looks fantastic. So plus 360, no, it's going to be a pass for mine. I think the Dodgers, they should be booked a lot higher than what we're seeing there. So as the top choice of plus 360, it's a little short for me. I think they're a little vulnerable, and they've been far too inconsistent going through the last month or so.
sometimes just a product of the environment, right, Dubsy, where the Dodgers are that top seed at plus 360 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, because they've been getting a lot of money preseason and during the season to win the World Series, and that certainly is reflective in that price. If we are looking at the Yankees at a plus 440, I stuck with them throughout the entire summer. Even when they were a couple games back from the Baltimore Orioles, I said, you know what, still trust the Yankees, think they're the best team in the American League, and now they're proving it right now. Now, granted, we still have about two and a half weeks left to go in the Major League Baseball season. If the Orioles get hot and the Yankees cool off, that could change. But I do expect the Yankees to be the top overall seed in the American League. But if we are talking about the Phillies at the plus 490 price, we know they're a formidable opponent. And it looks like they might even have the chance to get that number one overall seed if they just play decent baseball down the stretch, which sets up Nolan and Wheeler as your 1-2 punches here come playoff time. But let's get beyond that. Let's look at the Astros. For me, this team opening up the season, 12 games under 500, basically midway through, dead and buried, has now played their best baseball over the second half of the season at a plus 850 price. Is there any juice in the tank for you, Dubsy, for the Houston Astros to make a run in the playoffs here?
I think there is, Donnie, and, you know, similar angle to the Phillies there. They just have that class and that experience. It always seems to be at this time of the year where they're starting to find their best baseball. Justin Verlander, if he can get back to that top form, you've still got Framber, you've got Hunter Brown. We know the bats of the offense certainly can do it at a high clip there. So I think there's plenty of value behind that number for the Houston Astros, and I really feel like there's a lot of parity in the bigs this season. I can't find that standout. If it's the Dodgers at the shortest price, then yeah, this thing is wide open for a team like the Houston Astros at a bit of a price to make a run going through October. It's going to come down to health, fitness, and who can get that hot hand. For me, it looks like the Astros are trending in the right direction, and that's what you want to see at this time of year.
It's so crazy because, again, I wrote them off multiple times, and here they are. That playoff pedigree, if they can get to the playoffs, obviously they know how to win and win the World Series. You look behind them, it's the Orioles at a 9-1 price here. Maybe the most entertaining team over the first, what, three quarters of the Major League Baseball season. The offense was hot. Corbin Burns was pitching phenomenally here. Could it be the year for the Orioles? And I'm not saying it's not, but sort of a little bit of a cool off there in temperature where the Yankees have took control of that division. But then we flip it back over to the National League, which I do think is intriguing with the San Diego Padres. One through line, extremely talented in that lineup here. The starting pitching, if you get Yu Darvish back, Musgrove back to form, they can hold their own. They beefed up that bullpen here, Dubsy, at the trade deadline. Maybe one of the best, if not the best, in Major League Baseball. The Padres at an 11-1 price. Is that legitimate? You think there's a chance that they could be able to handle the Phillies and the Dodgers come playoff time?
Absolutely. If you're looking for a team who's vibing high right now, look towards the Padres. Jackson Merrill, rookie of the year, right in the conversation there. He has been fantastic. Fernando Tatis, he has been sensational since returning. So you've got that consistency from the offense. You've got the starting arms, a couple of 1-2 punches there. Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish that you highlighted. Michael King, he's been a little spotty, but certainly the Padres at 11-1, absolutely contenders.
Absolutely looking forward to it here. And also those New York Metropolitans, as we said, 27-1 is a price. Can they stay hot and make the playoffs? Hour number two is on the way next. We're going to hit the NFL. Let's take a look at some of these season assessments next.